can only... Okay, is it Richard III?
Richard III, again, got in touch with his people. Again, still dead. It turns out dead for a long time. I didn't know.
Why can I only think of historical figures? Is it Vladimir Putin?
Yes, it is a Vladimir Putin. He plays magic. Not a surprise. Friends with Nicol Bolas.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's how we got in contact with him. Yeah. Vladimir Putin will be on the show.
No, you're wrong. It is not Vladimir Putin.
Oh, what?
It is actually the famous magic pro player, LSV.
What? What does that stand for?
Louis Scott Vargas.
Oh, not Lemon Sunday.
Lemon Sunday.
Not Lemon Sunday Vacation?
No, but if I was him, that's not what I'm going to call him. Lemon Sunday.
Hey, Lemon Sunday Vacation. How's it going?
Every time I go up to him at an event, hey, Lemon Sunday, what's up?
So that's pretty awesome, Maria.
Yeah, it is.
What are we all going to talk about?
Well, we're going to do something really awesome with LSV. We're going to have a pun off.
That's right, because if you've ever read any of his articles or watched some of his coverage maybe at the Pro Tour, you'll know that he's a big fan of puns.
LSV is the pun master known worldwide as a magic pun master.
Yeah, so we're going to go toe-to-toe
with the legend.
Pun competition.
In heavy-handed pun competition.
Four will enter, one will leave, the others will be dead.
Oh, I was going to ask what the prize is, but I guess it's our lives.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
So you guys, stay tuned for that.
I mean, you've said it when you said that you would never say ears.
Right.
Yeah, you said it then. But I think that's the only time.
Okay. Well, we're two magic amateurs. We started playing just about 2 years ago, and we've decided to do a podcast and bring you listeners along with us on our journey learning to play magic. This week, it's a bit of a milestone in that it's episode 90, which is almost 100.
Yeah, it isn't, but it's almost there.
But almost there, so I say that's reason to celebrate.
It sure is.
So we've got an absolutely fantastic episode for you this week.
I hope that's true.
Well, you know what? We'll see. I always say that before it actually happens.
You really do.
And I'm always right.
Yeah, you are.
But this week, I can almost guarantee it because we have a special guest coming on the show this week, Megan.
Maria, who's our special guest?
I'm going to give you three guesses.
Okay. Oh.
Number one.
I thought you were going to give me a clue. And for some reason, my mind interpreted
three guesses as three clues.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it going to be Benjamin Franklin?
We tried. I got in touch with his people. Turns out he's dead.
Okay, so not it's him. Not Benjamin Franklin.
Not him, no.
I can only... Okay, is it Richard III?
Richard III, again, got in touch with his people. Again, still dead. It turns out dead for a long time. I didn't know.
Why can I only think of historical figures? Is it Vladimir Putin?
Yes, it is a Vladimir Putin. He plays magic. Not a surprise. Friends with Nicol Bolas.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's how we got in contact with him. Yeah. Vladimir Putin will be on
no,
the show.
No, you're wrong. It is not Vladimir Putin.
Oh, what?
It is actually the famous magic pro player, LSV.
What? What does that stand for?
Louis Scott Vargas.
Oh, not Lemon Sunday.
Lemon Sunday.
Not Lemon Sunday Vacation?
No, but if I was him, that's not what I'm going to call him. Lemon Sunday.
Hey, Lemon Sunday Vacation. How's it going?
Every time I go up to him at an event, hey, Lemon Sunday, what's up?
So that's pretty awesome, Maria.
Yeah, it is.
What are we all going to talk about?
Well, we're going to do something really awesome with LSV. We're going to have a pun off.
That's right, because if you've ever read any of his articles or watched some of his coverage maybe at the Pro Tour, you'll know that he's a big fan of puns.
LSV is the pun master known worldwide as a magic pun master.
Yeah, so we're going to go toe-to-toe
with the legend.
Pun competition.
In heavy-handed pun competition.
Four will enter, one will leave, the others will be dead.
Oh, I was going to ask what the prize is, but I guess it's our lives.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
So you guys, stay tuned for that. And also, we have some exciting news for you guys. If you're white.
All news is exciting if you're white. Things are universally good for white people.
We have some exciting news for you if you like our show and you want to support it.
Yeah. We would obviously super love any support that you're willing to throw our way. So we have started a Patreon account.
Patreon. It's not like the liquor. Patreon.
I can say it how I want to.
We were inspired by limited resources, and the wonderful Marshall Sutcliffe and Brian Wong. And they gave us their blessing. They've started their own Patreon account. And what you can do is you can go onto the website, become a member, and support monetarily every episode of a podcast at a certain dollar amount. And Limited Resources decided to try this out, and they had a lot of success with it, so I encourage you to support them as well. I'm a supporter of Limited Resources. But if you also listen to our show, and you enjoy our show, and we give you a couple of giggles in your giggle hole.
There we go.
I didn't say laugh. Every week, I would love it if you would do so.
Yeah, you can support with as... You can support with as little as $1 per episode.
$1 an episode.
Yeah, which is just four small dollars a month.
That's like less than you would spend on a cup of corporate coffee.
That is very true.
Just if you've got some change jangling around in your pocket, head to Patreon and look up Magic the Amateuring. It's also going to be on our website, a link on magictheamateuring.com, and we'll tweet it out of our Twitter account at MTAcast. And we have awesome reward levels for you, too.
Yes.
So you can support at $1 an episode, $2, $3, $5, or $10 if you're a crazy rich person. And you have various rewards for doing those things.
Yeah.
One of them is that Megan and I will come and do a draft with you, not in real life, because unless you want to pay for a plane ticket, then, you know what, whatever, via Skype.
Yeah.
So that's one of the rewards, which I think would be really awesome and fun and we'd love to do with you. So, you know, head on to Patreon and support at whatever level you feel comfortable. You can cancel at any time or change the amount that you want to pledge.
Yeah.
It's just like PBS.
And we made a video.
We did make a video.
You can watch a video.
It's a little silly.
Yeah.
So if you want to see us being silly.
I named the different kinds of shuffling that I know names for.
Yeah.
So you can hop on over there to check that out if you were wondering what the names of different shuffles were called.
Of course, this show will always remain free and we'll always do an episode for you every week. So it's only if you choose to donate. But the reason we decided to do it is because it is not cheap to do a magic podcast, and nor is it free of time. It is quite time consuming. And we do travel all over the country to go to GP so we can have awesome, great stories to tell you guys about and give you our knowledge about magic cards and such things. So
there you go.
There you go.
All right, so Maria, let's get down to the nitty-gritty real content this episode.
Sure.
What's it going to be about?
For the noobs.
Ooh.
Why are fetch lands good?
Oh man, Maria, fetch lands are pretty sweet.
That's what everybody's been telling me. And at this con's pre-release, people were cracking fetches left and right and screaming for the high heavens. I just made my money back on this pre-release.
That's right. You, Maria, made quite a bit of dollars.
I sure did, you guys. How
many fetches did you open?
I opened three.
Nice.
Which I think is pretty good value.
Yeah.
So they're worth a lot of money, about $20 right now.
Yeah.
And the question is, why? I mean, what does a fetch land do, for starters?
So a fetch land is a land that is two colors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can go fetch any land of one of two colors. So we have five fetches printed, which is pretty sweet. And so what they do is they allow you to tap that land. And so what's unique about fetches, first of all, is that you cannot tap them for mana.
No.
They do not tap for mana at all. But you can tap, pay one life, and sacrifice the fetch land and go and get one of either of two different kinds of lands. I would say basic lands, except I'll talk in a minute about how there's kind of a loophole. But for instance, the green-white fetch land says... You may go fetch a forest or a plains out of your deck.
Sure.
Put it into play. It's not even tapped.
No,
it's
completely untapped. Not tapped.
And then you shuffle your library and then you got that land in play.
So that's pretty awesome because you're not losing any disadvantage from your land coming in to play tapped, which is the equivalent of what other lands come in tapped.
Yeah, so all of the other fixing in Cons of Tarkir Limited comes into play tapped.
All
of those tri lands, all of what they call the refuges, because they're kind of like these other lands from the past.
Dual lands.
Yes, that come into play tapped, and they have tap for two different colors of mana, and you gain a life when they come into play. All of the other fixing in Cons is tapped, so.
Other than the banners.
That's true, the banners, but those aren't lands, those are just fixing.
Right. So that's where we sit at Limited with these fetch lands. But the main reason these things are so valuable is for Modern.
Yes.
Modern particularly.
That's right. Modern plays just a butt ton of our fetches.
I want to ask you.
Yeah.
What do you think a butt ton weighs? Does it weigh a ton? Or is that butt an extra few pounds
on top? It's like a ton plus the weight of a butt.
Oh, okay. On average, how much does your average butt weigh?
I would say that your average butt is like several pounds.
Several?
Yeah.
That is not the number I was looking for. I want a number. I want a poundage.
Fine. When I go to the grocery store, on average, a butt is 8 pounds.
No, it's not.
How much do you think a butt is?
Like 4 pounds?
Okay, you're probably more right than me right now.
I could be wrong. I mean, maybe we're talking about different butts here.
That's very true. I've always felt like when I'm trying to climb things,
yeah,
my butt is really weighing me down.
Really?
Yes.
I don't normally notice my butt.
Oh, I have definitely just been like, man, my butt's really keeping me down right now. I have thought that.
Oh,
I'm not joking.
All right. Wow, that is a new perspective for me.
So I'm just going to go over real quick the colors of fetches that we have right now.
In cons
that were printed. There is Flooded Strand, which is blue-white. So that's tap, pay one life, sack it to go get a plains or an island.
Flooded Strand.
Yeah.
Wet pube.
Oh, Maria.
Sorry.
Polluted Delta, which will get you a swamp or an island. A Bloodstained Mire, which will get you a mountain or a swamp. Wooded Foothills, mountain or forest. And Windswept Heath, forest or plains. So before we move on to modern, I just wanted to say in limited, it does have a couple of other applications.
Sure.
Because in some ways you can look at a fetch and say it might not be as great as one of those come into play tapped lands. Because once you've fetched your basic with it,
you can't produce the other color.
Exactly. It's not going to produce that other color. So usually, you know, hopefully you have one of the colors in your hand and you know you need to go fetch the other one. But still, it's a slight drawback that might come up every once in a while.
And you can, another important thing about these lands is that they can go and fetch these and put them into play at instant speed.
Yes.
So, a tricky little trick you could do, for instance, I'm going to give you a for instance, is the card Mardu Hateblade, which is a 1/1 that's white. And for a black mana, he gains death touch.
Yeah.
So say, for instance, you had the blue-black fetch land out on the battlefield.
Yeah.
And you hadn't cracked it yet. And then your opponent attacks in, and you go and get yourself a black and tap it and kill some dude.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a thing if they weren't paying attention.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing you could do is that one. It's like, right, they know that you at least have the potential to go get black mana.
Right.
Say I had like that green white fetch land.
Sure.
And I had a couple of other open mana. For the sake of this, maybe they're all one color. Like, they're all green,
sure.
Right? And I have this green-white. And my opponent, I make some sort of attack. My opponent doesn't have all of the information about what tricks I might have in that case.
Right.
Because they don't know if I'm going to go fetch a white land, or maybe I need to go fetch...
Green?
A green. Like, maybe I need to go fetch a plains, or maybe I need to go fetch a forest. But I could have either, like, a dragon scale boon, or I could have a feat of resistance.
Sweet.
Yeah. So maybe that would make more sense if like all of my other lands were some other color. But it can help you, right?
Yeah,
you
that's
can
interesting.
Conceal a little bit of information about maybe what tricks you might have in your hand.
Absolutely.
Which is pretty cool.
Should note that these lands have been printed before.
Yes.
They were just out of rotation.
Yeah, they were back in Onslaught, which was quite a long time ago.
So yeah. They're very valuable, those older ones.
Yeah. Another thing that fetches do in limited is right now one of the mechanics is Delve.
Delve.
And this sure does put a card in your graveyard
Delve,
which
that's
is pretty
true.
Sweet.
That's very true.
If you're playing a Delve deck, it's almost like that land nets you 2 mana because you get to go put a land into play and you put it into your graveyard and you can delve it out later to make a spell, to help pay for a spell.
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And like we said, even if you bomb your event, at least you still made money. So
yeah.
There's always that. They are good for value, even when you suck.
You know what? It's been a while since I drafted and got and opened up money from a land card.
Yeah. The temples weren't ever particularly valuable.
No.
The pain lands in M15, some of them, but...
Nah, it's like one or two
Even then,
books.
They're not even really.
No.
I guess Mana Confluence, that's a pretty... That's
yeah.
money.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, really, it's been since Ravnica.
Since Ravnica, I remember opening Steam vents and being like, oh, money, money, money.
Yeah.
Don't pass that.
I once passed a Steam vent
so
because
did
I didn't know.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And also, early on, this is something I found with Magic players. When they early on begin to draft, they will pass money to try and stay in their colors and build a good deck.
Yeah.
And as you become older, you're like, no way am I passing that.
I know, right? Which is kind of funny. Like, you're like, just like, no, just give me that value, financial value.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, hey, that's a good thing to know if you're a newer player. If you open a fetch land, don't pass it.
Don't be proud. It's $20. It's going to be fine.
Exactly.
Buy yourself another draft.
Take that fetch.
Nice. Maybe a new pair of pants, some slacks. Treat yourself to some new slacks.
Nice.
Courtesy of a fetch land.
Slacks. Courtesy of a fetch land. Yeah. So next, let's talk about why fetches will maybe be good in standard.
Did we say modern?
Well, we can build up to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So these, obviously these lands are going to be viable in the upcoming standard format. And one particular interaction that people are really excited about is Courser of Kruphix and these fetch lands. Because as you may know, Courser of Kruphix lets you see the top card of your library.
Right.
So imagine if you can see the top card of your library and you have a fetch in play. And it's your opponent's turn, and you're looking at that top card of your library, and you're like, man, I really don't want to draw that card. Like, maybe it's another land, and it's like, right, you already played your land off of Courser, or your land for the turn, so you can't play that land, you're just going to draw it. And you're like, crap, I really don't want to draw a land next turn. Well, on your opponent's end step, you can crack your fetch and shuffle your deck.
That's kind of crazy, man.
It's pretty sweet.
I don't know how good it is, because it's still random.
Yeah, that's true. It is still random,
but
it sure does give you a level of control over your draws.
Interesting.
So it's going to lead to some really interesting decision-making situations in terms of like when you play your lands and when you crack your fetches and what you're doing with like maybe even your scry lands and your fetch lands. It could get pretty crazy up in there.
That's tricky.
Yeah. I still don't know that they'll be, you know, crazy popular because I do think that there's, like a lot of the aggro decks are going to want the pain lands because they, you know, they don't need that element of shuffling their deck. They don't need to do that. They're just like, give me the land. Let me play it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if it deals me damage. I'm just trying to 20 you as fast as I possibly can.
Uh-huh.
So they'll be more interested in that as opposed to, you know, being all fancy with their draws and their Coursers of Kruphix. So yeah, while these will see play, I don't know that they'll be crazy in standard.
All right.
But it's going to be pretty cool. Now we move on to modern.
Sure.
So fetches are mostly worth money because hot damn does modern play a butt ton of them.
Yes, and these fetches, since they are in colors that have not been printed for a while, open up the opportunity to play new kinds of decks that haven't been viable for a while.
Yeah. The biggest thing is that it makes modern more financially viable for a lot of people who have had trouble getting into it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, these fetches are so, so darn expensive to buy. And it's like, man, I want to get into modern, but I don't want to go spend $300 just on lands.
Oh, sick.
You know,
the last time I spent $300 on a land, I bought an acre in Arkansas.
Why in Arkansas?
Just seems like an acre would be cheap there.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to grow pumpkins.
All right, buddy. You can do what you want.
I'm going to grow pumpkins in Arkansas. What is so wrong with that? I want a pumpkin patch, my very own pretty pumpkin patch.
Yeah, no problem. You can have it.
Okay.
Anyways, so there are a ton of three-color decks in Modern. Because they're taking advantage of so many different powerful cards and powerful synergies going on. So there's the typical Jund deck, which is still around despite the banning of Deathrite Shaman. There's obviously the pod decks. There's
like Malira pod?
Yep, exactly, which usually tend to be some combination of like green, white, and a third color. So
is
like
there
green,
a deck
white, blue,
called
green, white, red?
Pod people?
Don't
in
think
modern,
so. No.
Hey, brewers out there, put on your listening hats. I want you to make me a deck that's called Pod People, and it's a modern playable. So it's probably gonna have some planeswalkers, and it's gonna have whatever the heck Malira Pod has that it has Pod in the name.
So It would. Okay. Maria, I'm going to break your heart for a second.
Why?
That Dex Pawn not going to be modern playable.
Why?
Because Malira Pod allows you to sack a creature and go get a creature with a one higher converted mana cost. So it's a very creature-centric deck as opposed to a planeswalker-centric deck.
Well, I just... If as long as your creatures are humans, then and they're all humans, then it can be called pod people.
Okay, that's true.
Last week, or 2 weeks ago, I begged for listeners to make the deck snug as a bug in a rug.
That's true.
Which played bug colors and rug colors with some kind of insect in the deck. I don't know where these listeners are that are not making these deck lists for me.
I'm really sorry.
Come on, you guys.
Really, everyone's being so unreasonable and not meeting your demands.
I know. I know. I mean, how hard is it?
God, it's like nobody cares about you. Anyways, there's a blue-white red control and just a slew of other decks that need three colors. And the nice thing, the really sweet thing about fetches and modern is that the Ravnica shock lands are legal there as well, which... Blake, you might remember, is the cycle that we're leaving behind now with Return to Ravnica, which has dual-colored lands, which can either enter the battlefield tapped, or you can pay two life, and they enter the battlefield untapped, hence being known as shock lands. And the sweet things about those is that, like, the green-white Temple of Plenty, which is the Scry land, right? It's just a land. It's not a forest, and it's not a plains. It doesn't say that on its line. It just says land.
Right.
Temple. I don't think it says temple. It just says land. Anyways, but the green-white Ravnica Shockland says forest plains on it.
Oh, shit.
Which means that, you know how we were talking about in Limited, your fetches can only go get you one color of mana?
Yeah.
Well, in Modern, your fetch land can go get you two colors of mana.
That's pretty insane.
It's pretty sweet.
Awesome.
It is, you know, it's a really powerful interaction to be like, oh, you wanted me to just go fetch a forest or a plains? What if I fetch a forest plains?
Yikes.
And then it's like, hot damn.
Wow, that crazy action makes me almost want to play modern.
Yeah.
I said almost.
Maria, it's pretty sweet sometimes.
You've tried your hand in modern?
Yeah. Remember I played, I went to GP Boggles. Kansas City and I played Boggles. That was entertaining. That was real weird.
Maybe one day, you guys. Maybe one day.
Yeah, and back before... So these fetch lands in Modern are also part of the reason why Deathrite Shaman got banned.
Yeah.
Which was that green... It's the green-black elf, and he's a 1/2 for one. It's a hybrid green-black, and he has several different modes. You can tap him and exile a land from a graveyard to add one to your mana pool. And then there's like a black and tap... which your opponent loses to, and you have to exile, I don't remember what type, and then a green and tap, I think, is a creature, and you gain two. Anyways, that card was crazy powerful with fetches, because on turn one, you could play a fetch, crack it, get a land, play your shaman, and on your next turn, or on even that turn, you still have a land in the graveyard to tap your shaman and exile that land. And then you get some mana acceleration going on.
Okay, so that was just too good for Wizards.
Well, lots of things about Deathrite Shaman were too good.
Okay.
That card was was very good. Part of the reason, it was just good, you know, that's a card that's good at any point in the game. You can draw him late game, and he's still very good.
Okay.
So lots of reasons why that card was banned. But that's one of them, because that was a pretty sweet effect. There's also a card in Modern called Blood Moon, which makes all non-basic lands
Blood
into mountains.
Moon, you'll make my lands into mountains.
Yeah, so that can be that can really shut decks down hard.
Yeah,
it's
that's
brought in as a card,
card
usually out of the sideboard to just be like, "Oh, are you playing a lot of fancy lands? Fuck you, they're all mountains.
Man.
Cast your spells now. Cast them now." And if your opponent plays Blood Moon, you don't have a way to get rid of it, and
what do you do?
Well, there's not a lot of things, but maybe if you have a fetch in play, you can go get the one basic land that you have in your deck for when someone path to exiles you. And maybe you'll have something that you're going to be able to do with that.
Oh,
but
man, these fetch lands are pretty powerful pieces of shit, Megan.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet. So I would say their number one application is still going to be in modern, but I think we're going to see some cool interactions in standard that people are going to try and work with. And in limited, you know what?
Don't pass, all right, buddies. Don't pass them.
Don't pass them.
I'm just telling you right now, don't pass them.
They're real good.
Also, don't pass gas at a draft.
Yeah, that's a little rude.
Maria's tips.
She's not kind.
Kind?
So, Maria, looking at these fetch lands.
Yeah?
If you had to go on vacation.
To one of those fetch lands.
To one of these fetch lands, which one would it be?
Oh, look at these, you guys.
Yeah, they're really great.
Oh, yeah, windswept heath. That looks like a nice little grove.
It's beautiful.
Wooded foothills. Hiking some snowy mountains. Bloodstained mire.
No, not going
get
there.
The fuck out of there.
Bloodstained mire. Polluted delta? No,
not happening.
And not unless I'm doing some volunteer work with the Sierra Club.
Flooded strand. With a cute little dinosaur skeleton.
Aww.
Oh, that's adorable.
That is super cute.
Okay, I think I'm going to go to... Oh, this is tough.
I've made my decision. Where are you going? Flooded Strand.
Flooded Strand?
I want to see that dinosaur skeleton. That looks real cute.
That's true. You would be making a pretty good discovery because that does not look like any dinosaur known to me right now.
Yeah, it's massive. Well, it's a dragon.
I kind of want to go and hike in the mountains in Flooded Strand. But I think I'm going to choose Windswept Heath, and I'm going to go read a book in that little grove.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah, that's where I'm going.
I'm glad that we've talked about the really important part about Fetchlands.
Yeah, I'm glad too. Hey, listener John, thanks for your question about Fetchlands and where we would go on vacation. If you'd like to ask us a question, you can tweet at us at MTAcast. We'd love to have you as a follower. We're almost at 1,000 followers. The more in the fold, the better. And... I was just remembering a show where we argued about where I said, bring you into the fold.
Yeah, I remember that. I don't remember what our disagreement was about.
Time heals all ills, Megan.
I think it's that time heals all wounds.
Are we going to have a fight about this now?
I'm just saying that in this case, I'm right. Hey, guys. Rotations just happened. It's a new standard corner.
It's just a standard corner.
My first recommendation, if you're interested what the new face of standard is looking like, is to go check out the event coverage from this past weekend's SCG Open.
Nice.
Because you're going to see lots of sweet brews, I'm suspecting.
Yeah.
Because, holy cow, it's the first big publicized tournament since rotation.
Wait. Question.
Yes.
So this episode will be airing next Monday.
Yeah.
So it will have happened this
past
weekend.
It will have happened the past weekend.
Got it.
Like
okay.
The 2 days before.
Keep it continue.
Yeah. So that is always a great place to check out. Also because a lot of people on the SCG circuit are really cool brewers too. They do, you know, a lot of sweet work. It's not always just the you know, the big names.
Right. And right now, cards are rotating out. We've got new stuff rotating in.
Yeah.
Exciting. I'm excited to see what new decks are out there.
Yeah. As am I. You can also go check out, there's a couple of great articles on Channel Fireball and Star City Games by brewers who have been talking about, you know, what cards they think are going to be really good. If you are planning on playing the new standard, there's one big thing to make sure that you know, which is either you're playing Goblin Rabble Master or you need to have a plan for when you are matched up against a Goblin Rabble Master, because that Rabble Red, not a ton of cards are rotating out of that deck. It's still going to be very viable because Goblin Rabble Master is a heck of a beating. So make sure maybe you're playing Rabble Red, in which case go you.
Has Rabble Red won any big tournaments?
Yeah, it won an SCG a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it had a couple in the top eight that same week, and it's been consistently kind of in the top eight since then.
Sure.
So I definitely have played a couple at FNMs.
Question. How did it not get, how did it, I mean, didn't Sphinx's Rev deck or like the Ivan Flock's Flock just shut it down?
Yes and no. It is a crazy powerful deck that also plays cards like Dynacharge, or they can bring in Skullcrack from the sideboard, which means that you can't gain life, which, you know, sometimes, usually game one, they are going to lose because that matchup is just very, very hard for them.
Yeah.
But in games two and three, they have some really powerful tools that they can bring in. Primarily, a lot of them will bring in like four Skullcracks to keep you from gaining the life off of those Sphinx's Revelations. and that sort of thing. Right. Or they can Boros charm their guys to make them indestructible in response to a wrath, which is also obviously a very, you know, very backbreaking for the control decks.
Okay.
So are they hard matchup game one? Yes. But also, you know, that hard Sphinx's Revelation control is rotating out.
Bye-bye. Oh, sayonara, so sad. You Sphinx jerk.
What? Sphinx's best friend.
I can't tell you how happy I am that that card is going away. What?
Why? You never even played Standard, Maria.
I know, but I want to see a game with creatures on the board.
Oh, Maria, you're in luck. There's going to be a lot of creatures in the new Standard.
Yes.
Because we only have a 5-mana wrath. We don't have any more 4-mana wraths. So that's going to, you know, as much as it's like, what? It's only 1 mana. It makes a difference.
Big deal.
Especially if you're facing something like a Rabble Red deck, which, like, if you're not wrathing until turn 5, you're probably dead. Probably very dead. So a lot of suspicions are that this format is going to be much more creature-centric.
Awesome!
Congratulations.
Yes!
We're also bidding goodbye to Mono Black Devotion.
Oh, I think everybody is happy about that.
God, pack rat.
I don't think anybody even liked to play that deck.
I played it once, and I honestly had a miserable time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can tell. You didn't even like to play it. Like,
yeah.
Nobody liked to watch it. It's super powerful. Nobody liked to play it. Anyway.
I mean, if you like to only win, then sure. But even then, it's a miserable deck to play. It's no fun. Goodbye to that. Mono Blue Devotion is also losing a lot of its most powerful tools, so I don't know if we're going to be seeing that deck, if there's going to be a new iteration of it. I'll be very interested. So I personally have been exploring sort of like maybe an Abzan mid-rangey deck.
Sure.
A lot of decks are going to, again, either going to fall into kind of the Rabble Red category, which you need to have a plan against them if you're not playing it, or the Sylvan Caryatid and Courser of Kruphix decks, which are going to be more mid-rangey or more control-y, depending on the build. So Courser of Kruphix, great source of card advantage because it allows you to play those lands off the top of your deck. Caryatids, just really solid rampers and mana fixing. And I think, you know, Abzan is going to have some sweet tools. You know, you're going to still get to play some powerful creatures, maybe some Fleecemane Lions. Maybe even some Bramaz or Pelucranos.
Oh, cool.
There's some creatures that people are excited about coming in, like Anafenza, if you're feeling more aggro. Siege Rhino, if you're feeling more defensive. Abzan Charm is generally being considered. If you're looking for a charm to build around, people are pretty stoked about Abzan.
What does Abzan Charm do?
It exiles a creature with power 3 or greater.
Mm-hmm.
You draw 2 cards and pay 2 life.
Right.
And what is the... That would...
Do you get some warriors or something?
No. That's a...
I know Mardu Charm gave me two 1/1 first strikers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story about that card.
Okay, let's hear your story about Mardu Charm.
So some guy attacked me. It's the shortest story ever. Attacked into me when I had Mardu Charm up.
Yeah.
And I just put two 1/1 first strikers out there and killed his 2 power dude. And he was like, oh... That's the thing.
Yeah. Oh, and the third mode on Abzan Charm is distribute 2+1/+1 counters among 1 or 2 target creatures.
Sure.
So just a sweet charm. I'm really excited. You also get a lot of great kill spells in black and white. Utter End, which is the new 2 white black exile target permanent. Nice. Yeah. So we'll see what's what.
Brilliant.
I think it's going to be super interesting.
What are you most excited to sort of play? Abzan stuff?
Yeah, I think that's... I mean, I'm talking about that one because that's sort of where I'm leaning overall. Because okay. I think it looks like a very powerful deck. It's a little more on the control-y side. Obviously, it's not aggro at all. And I like it. Yeah, it looks real good.
Well, let's keep our eyes peeled to see what happens with the new standard. Tell us what kinds of decks you're brewing up in your brew skulls at MTA Cast, and especially if you're making a deck called Pod People or Snug as a Bug in a Rug. I'm listeners, don't make me disappointed.
That's right. Don't disappoint Maria, you guys. It's really terrible when it happens.
Or I'm going to sack my weird Abzan guide giraffe on you.
Oh, you're going to sick him?
Oh, yeah, sick him. What did I say? Sack him?
Yeah.
Oh, you do not want to be sacked by a giraffe.
No.
Let me tell you. A giraffe but sack is at least the weight of a human butt.
Okay.
At least the weight of one butt.
What? I also think that if you sack someone, that's like you're tackling them wrestling style.
Oh, I'm talking about getting smacked in the face with the balls. That's what I'm talking
about. No, I figured. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to let you know that if someone says that phrase to you, mm-hmm. that's probably not what they mean.
Oh, that's what I did when I played football. Oh, now I know why my coach was yelling at me.
That running back just got sacked.
Oh, my coach was so... I got kicked off the team immediately.
Oh, Maria.
It's all clear now.
Yep.
It's all clear now. I thought it was just because I was a bad player. Turns out it was sexual harassment.
Yes. So, Maria, do you have any other sweet stories from the pre-release?
My God, I don't know if I do.
All right. I'll tell a sweet one. So I was playing against, this is the second pre-release when I was playing Jeskai.
Sure.
Which I felt overall was a little weak and sealed. I didn't have quite as many, like, you know, two drops as I needed, like two and three solid, good, quick creatures to get out and hit people with. And I felt like the deck definitely suffered from that. So this Jeskai deck, right? I'm playing against this guy who's playing Abzan. He's got a lot going on. I have him real close to dead, but we're not quite there yet. And I have my Efreet Weapon Master face up. He's the 4/3 first striker.
He grants +3/+0.
Yep, when he's turned face up. But that's already happened in a prior game. I just have him. And I have a Teemer Charm in my hand because I was splashing red for a couple of Teemer cards. That's one of them. And my opponent, I've been killing my opponent with just a bunch of flyers.
Yeah.
But he plays a long shot squad, which is the green 3 and a green outlast guy who gives all of your creatures with a +1/+1 counter reach. So I was like, crap, I need to get rid of this.
Right.
And my opponent has played an Abzan guide. So that's the 4/4 lifelinker.
OMG.
And it's a warrior. And he has that warrior lord that gives all warriors +0/+1. So he has an Abzan guide that's a 4/5, which is pretty rough for me, right? I can't profitably block it with my 4/3 first striker anymore. And he has this long shot squad, and he's gonna start blocking my dudes. So I'm real unhappy. But my opponent goes to attacks, and he swings his Abzan guide. Because, again, I don't have anything that can profitably block this. At best, I'll get, like, a 2-for-1.
Right.
And that's not what I want to be doing with my flyers right now. I just want to be attacking his face, and I can't have him gain in life. So he attacks, and I use the fight, the +1/+1, and fight on my Efreet Weapon Master.
+1/+1 and fight?
Yeah.
What is that one?
It's the Teemer Charm. It's the third
ability. Oh, Teemer Charm. Okay.
Yeah. So it's the Teemer Charm, third ability, at instant speed, +1/+1, and fight. So he becomes a 5/4 first striker. Oh, I fight the 3/3 long shot squad that's giving everything reach. And then I block the Abzan guy with my 5/4 first striker.
Oh, nice.
And just eat his dude.
Nice.
So good old fashioned 2-for-1, friends.
I thought of a story.
Okay. Tell me
so
about it.
So a two-headed giant. My partner and I were a little behind on board. I was playing an Abzan deck, mm-hmm. Outlast. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
This deck. And he was playing a deck that had 3 creatures.
Yeah.
So it was all counter spells and removal. Yeah. And so we were a little behind versus our opponents. And they had some dudes out. And then they drop a Sarkhan.
Yeah.
Now, this is the second Sarkhan, I should add. The first one got removed from the one in a blue, which counters target spells converted mana cost 4 or greater.
So you're telling me your opponents had two Sarkhans.
Two Sarkhans. So drops a second Sarkhan, right?
Yeah.
And somehow, and he minuses him to get rid of one of my dudes. So he's at 1.
Yeah.
This Sarkhan. And we, like, have one guy on the board, and they have a number of them. I'm not even sure what was going on. Anyway, I cast Crackling Doom. Now, this is especially good in Two-Headed Giant.
Yes.
Because each of them needs to sacrifice their dude with the highest power.
Yeah.
And they each also lose 2 life. And one of those damages redirected to Sarkhan.
Yeah. Wait, just to clarify.
Sure.
Crackling Doom deals 2 damage.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you can't redirect. If something says they lose 2 life, you can't redirect that. But you can redirect something that says deals 2 damage.
Deals 2 damage and then finish off Sarkhan. So they both had to sack dude. Sarkhan's dead. And also another point of damage to your face because fuck you.
Nice. Real nice.
That was pretty backbreaking.
That sounds pretty sweet. Nice. It Crackling Doom.
Was.
I'm a fan.
That card is amazing.
That card is sick. It's running a fever of 103.
I got a fever, and it's more needs money, more crackling doom.
It doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
Nope, sure doesn't.
Welcome, listeners. This is the pun off with special guest Luis Scott Vargas.
Welcome, Luis.
Hey, everyone.
We're so happy you could join us. I am just thrilled.
Yeah, I'm glad I could make it.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I've been a fan for a super long time. I've been watching your videos for years, so thank you so much for your service.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad you enjoy the videos. If people didn't watch them, I certainly wouldn't be able to make them.
Do you know, Luis, that I fall asleep to your dulcet tones almost every night?
Would it sound weird if that's not the first time I've heard that?
Nope, I guess I can imagine that.
I'm honestly not surprised.
Well, Luis, we've invited you here for a very special event, the first annual Magic the Amateuring Pun Off.
Wow, we're going to
start somewhere.
Exactly. We've really started with a tough competitor.
Right, we have. And you are famous for your amazing puns that you make in your draft videos on coverage. You'll just slip them in there under the rug. And I think they're just beautiful. They're beautiful to behold.
Exactly.
I'm actually kind of a fan of the more subtle ones, as subtle as they can be. I mean, puns aren't generally that subtle. But I like just like, you know, the stone face, say it while you're doing something and then other people can hear it, but you don't make a big production out of it. I don't know. That's how I prefer to, deliver them.
I agree. Those are the best types of puns.
Yes.
That you don't see them coming. They're just kind of like, boop, exactly. And there it was.
Oh, they could have. Maybe it's just something you happened to be saying. Oh, but wait.
That's the plausible deniability part, but no one ever believes me.
You don't want to put a lot of pressure on your puns. You want to do normal stuff and then be like, oh, I still had all these puns.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did I, was I funny in there? Oh, I didn't notice.
Luis, do you remember your first pun?
That I don't. I mean, as long as I can remember, like even before I, you know, started playing Magic or doing stuff like that, I remember liking wordplay, and I guess puns are just like a natural extension of that.
You might call them the highest art form.
Yeah, I have in fact called them that and been, you know, roundly mocked for it.
Yes. I certainly agree. Who needs painting?
No.
Who is Matisse?
Dance? Give me a break. But as we've said, you are recognized as the pun master of Magic. And so we've invited you here for the Great American Pun Off. That's the new name that I've just made up.
Oh, okay.
The first annual.
Yeah, first annual.
First annual Great American Pun Off.
So Megan, tell us how this is going to work.
So the way this is going to work is we've divided up into rounds, and each round is going to be a color, gold cards being their own color. And this is puns of cards. Puns of Karkir. Puns of Tarkir. Last episode, we called Cons of Tarkir Tons of Karkir the entire episode.
Yep, we sure did.
That's how easy that is to say. So we're going to go ahead and just, we'll all throw out the best puns that we've got to offer for each color.
So we each did one card per color.
Yes.
All right. So, all right.
Or more.
If you did more, I guess that's
fine. If you're an overachiever, you're an overachiever.
So Megan, what color are we going to start off with?
Well, as all good color wheels do, we'll start off with white.
White.
And by all good color wheels, I mean just the Magic color wheel. I don't think white's on the normal one.
Yeah, I think Wooburg is not the normal color order. But
I wonder if anybody has named their child Wooburg.
I so hope not.
I just when you said it there, Luis, I was like, that sounds like a name, a horrible, horrible name.
Yeah. It's not a very good name.
No.
Apologies to any Woobergs out there.
Yes.
We're really sorry to offend Woobergs.
Okay.
You guys, you know, Dazzling Ramparts. I had this in my pool and it didn't really shine.
Oh. That's just it. We definitely need a rim shot right there.
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay.
Go for it.
Wingmate Rock. This card could get my wingmate rocks off.
feet of resistance. Much better than hands of conductance.
from the engineer on the podcast? There you go. I have Brave the Sands. You know, I scoured cons to find a card that plays well with this, but I think it's a trap, and it's not one I'm going to be quick to fall into.
Yeah, I had it in my first pool, but I was definitely not brave enough to run it.
Oh! Oh, snap!
Nice. Anyone got anything else they want to add to White?
High Sentinels of Arishin. When I want to Arishin, I just cut off one half of my jeans legs, but I suppose getting high couldn't hurt.
God. Oh, boy.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Listeners, go ahead and mentally tally for yourself who you think won that round.
All right.
Because that's how official we're being about this. That moves us on to Blue.
Blue.
Blue, force away. You need to not pass this card in draft if you want to force someone away from Blue.
Oh, nice. All right, this is my last dirty one, I promise.
Oh, gosh. I don't believe you, but okay.
Glacial Stalker. I bet I'll get a stock every time I unmorph this card and eat your dude with it. I'm done.
Disdainful Stroke. Some cards make for bad hands, while other cards get the job done. This card makes the bad hand job done.
Oh, God. All right, what you got, Luis?
Let's see. I did not prepare any cards in advance, but I'm taking a look at the spoiler now.
Okay. Oh, snap. This guy's on the spot.
On the fly.
If you give me a couple seconds for some quiet contemplation, I might be able to come up with something.
Okay.
Oh, burn. Slow burn.
That was awesome. I did not see that coming.
Mm-mm. No way.
Oh, God. Okay. Red?
Yeah. White, blue. Wait, no. Black.
Black. Black.
Yeah, wait. I want to leave it. Anyone got anything good they want to throw on the blue table before we move on?
Oh, Water Whirl. I like this card, but I'd rather see the post mana.
Water Whirl. What a bad movie. So that moves us on to black. I have to say, Sidisi's pet, keeping a pet monkey is just sadistic.
Oh, nice.
Sadistic.
Nice. Ruthless Ripper, more like Ruthless Tipper, because if I open this in a draft, I would only tip the store 10% on my bill because, hey, I should have gotten a rare instead of just this uncommon in my pack. Even I'm disappointed in myself after that one.
You had to delve pretty deep for that, but I guess it plays.
Oh! Oh my god! They never end!
D-Spies. This card is a full letter grade worse than C-Spies.
Nice.
Nice.
The best part about Grim Haru Specs is when you unmorph it, no one expects it.
Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Throttle.
I wouldn't go so far as to say brilliant, but we'll continue.
Pretty good.
I accept it.
Throttle. If you play this on a 4/4, it's a full throttle.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah. That's a car thing, right? Is that a full throttle?
I feel like cars do have throttles.
All right. Motorcycles. That's what has a throttle.
Sure. I don't know these things.
All right. Where does that leave us? White, blue, black, red.
Red.
All right. Barrage of Boulders. To be blunt, I don't think this card is any good, but I'll stop beating you over the head with my personal opinions, guys.
Megan, I also did Barrage of Boulders.
No way!
Yeah. Barrage of Boulders. You'd be pretty bold to play this card in a Jeskai deck because you'd never have Ferocious. But I bet it's easier to cast in Boulder, Colorado just because you're probably high and take life pretty casually.
Well, I'm going to be in Boulder next month. I did Ash Cloud Phoenix. I'd like to return this card face down. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that, Ash Cloud?
I feel like I'm out of my league here. This is not the style of punning I'm used to.
You mean bad? I don't think mine was even a pun. Oh, God. Okay.
So I would disagree. I think you are far from out of your league.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the four of us is in a Hall of Fame.
And it's not for puns though.
Well,
but that was one of the things they mentioned on like the banner they have where they talk about your accomplishments. So I guess it kind of is.
That's pretty awesome.
That's insane. Yep.
Yeah, while we're on the subject of Boulder, Colorado, I can't help but bring up Mardu Blazebringer, but
all right, that takes us to Green. Green. You know, hold on, I always have to brush my hair before I go to work because I really wake up with some air of the wilds.
Awaken the hair of the wilds.
Yes.
Green, hooting mandrills. This card is like a bunch of male owls that are mining for natural gas. Hooting mandrills. Because every time you cast this card against me, I'll be all like, frack! It's not a pun, you guys. It's not a pun.
I appreciated all of the layers.
Thank you.
That wasn't just a long shot. That was a whole squad of them.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Alpine grizzly. Sorry, we don't have any deciduous grizzlies. This bear is alpine.
Oh, tree jokes, you guys.
We're in green. I mean, what were you expecting? Gold cards.
Gold, all right.
Yeah, you guys, I'm brewing a standard deck around the card's secret plans, but I can't tell you about it.
All right, so if you thought my hooting mandrels was a stretch, get ready for this one. Sarek Dragonclaw. More like Sarek, son-in-law, because Sarek of TV Star Trek was Spock's dad and therefore somebody's son-in-law, and Sarek is like a Vulcan because, much like Vulcan emotions, he would be good at keeping the game under your control.
Nice.
It was horrible, Megan.
Okay,
it was horrible.
Yeah, I can't. I said, support that pun.
You're like a parfait. I appreciate the layers.
Okay.
Even if the dessert overall is underwhelming.
I feel like we've just about reached the utter end of these, but we'll see.
Death Frenzy. Oh my god, you guys. Me and this card are death friends forever.
You know, Ben, that's weird, because I have to say, I don't really like Death Frenzy, because I'm not really into mosh pits or death metal.
That's a new word. You've just coined a new term at death metal concerts for the mosh pits.
Oh, yeah, the death frenzy.
Yeah.
All right, anybody, listeners, I hope, as before, you've been tallying your round scores.
Yeah.
Does anyone have...
Are we trying to go for the highest or lowest score? I wasn't sure based on the submissions.
Well, I'm always trying to go for the lowest score, like in golf, so...
That's right. Maria has been most proficient at the sport of golf, so that's the only thing she knows.
Yep, that's all I know. Trying to do the absolute lowest score possible.
Yeah. I come from a fencing background, so I'm just always trying to not get stabbed. I have succeeded in that goal as well.
So far. Great job.
Yeah. Anyone have any last-minute puns that they want to throw out on the table? Anything that they don't want the listeners to miss out on out there?
I think I produce enough of those overall that I'll stand by my offerings. But you did mention something about a flavor text theater.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that is true. So we have a couple of extra minutes. We're going to play a game that we like to call Flavor Text Theater Movie Pitches. And so over here, Maria and I are going to crack a booster. So, and we can either... this is the one kind of tricky part of this, is that we can either crack a booster and then type in a couple of the names of the cards to you and Ben to do, or if you guys have boosters you want to crack.
We can just all open a booster, right?
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Grab one.
Yeah.
All right, Lucy.
Which set are we looking at?
Cons of Tarkir.
Okay, we're doing cons still?
Yeah. All right. And so what we do is we crack one and we kind of just pick a couple cards out of there or whatever, and you make up either a pitch for a TV show or a movie based on the name of the card.
Yes, and you can take the artwork, the flavor text, or what the card does in any sort of way, if you want to work those into what the movie is or if you just want to go strictly off the title.
Right.
So, for example, one of the classics was Thassa's Rebuff, which was a rom-com about a woman who just, she pushes away all of the suitors who aren't quite good enough until the right guy comes along.
And Vaporkin was a movie about a family whose car goes over a waterfall and they all die in a horrible accident and come back as water people. Vaporkin.
Yes.
So we'd kind of like give the pitch and then sort of reveal the name of the card at the end of the pitch is usually the style we would do it.
Sounds good.
All right.
What do you got here, Megan?
So Maria and I are cracking our pack.
So I've got a pitch I can actually throw out. I got a pack here.
All right, excellent. Let's. We're gonna sit down for some Flavor Text Theater movie pitches, guys. All right.
Nice.
Let's hear them, everybody. What are we bringing to the table?
This is a TV show, not a movie. But
The
exciting follow-up to Ice Road Truckers is the slower-paced but much more dangerous Salt Road Patrol.
You know what? I can really see audiences going for like the human aspect of that. You know, getting to really know that Salt Road Patrol.
Slower but much more dangerous. Yes. Watch out. You know. Go ahead.
I've got a feel-good sports movie for you guys. You guys like sports movies?
Oh sure, like Air Bud.
Everybody loves a good sports movie.
Yeah, this is about a recruiter who lives in Texas, and he's trying to. Recruit some players from Mexico. It's called Scout the Borders.
Nice. It's like a new take. It's a contemporary take on Remember the Titans.
Exactly.
Very good.
I've got a follow-up to Twin Peaks.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. It's called Thornwood Falls. It's just a dual land. Oh, whatever.
I want to sell you guys on a movie. It's kind of like it's got the vibe of Fiddler on the Roof. It's set in, you know, like old school Russia. You know, a bunch of women all living together in a cabin, and they all decide to work themselves out of poverty by learning to make the most beautiful rugs ever.
Uh-huh.
It's called Weave Fate. They're going to use rugs to raise themselves.
Horrible idea. The worst movie I've ever heard of. The worst.
So, after the resounding success of Waterworld, which was already brought up earlier on the podcast,
yes.
There's an amusement park ride based completely on it. It's called Waterworld.
Perfect. Yes. Perfect.
Yes.
Oh, these names.
Let's see.
I have a nostalgia-based children's movie. It's basically the never-ending story, but for budget reasons, they can't afford the luck dragon, so they just ride around on pillows, and it's called Ride Down.
I think we can make that for like, some public access television.
Yeah,
sounds great.
It's going to be cheap.
Speaking of public access television, you guys, the Zoo came to me, and they're really trying to get their numbers up. They're trying to get people in, and they want to have a program on that promotes the zoo, and they're just going to have cameras focused on the reptile exhibit. We're going to call the program Molting Snakeskin, and it's just going to be a real-time live feed of the zoo.
Okay, great. Okay. Sounds more like a website kind of thing.
Oh, you can actually look at the seals at the San Francisco Zoo, I want to say.
And just watch them all day?
Yeah, there's like live cam.
All right, you guys, what do you think about this TV show? So we're all fans of The Biggest Loser here. It's a popular show. So my idea is to do The Biggest Loser, but with like manly like truck drivers, with like repo men, with maybe even hitmen, just guys who are real grizzled and tough. And it's going to be called Hardened Scales.
Nice.
Well, after the commercial success of Dune, Michael Bay picked it up and it came out with his blockbuster, Dune Blast.
To be followed up with Dune Blast 2, Blossoming Sands.
Yes. Oh my god!
Dune Blast 2, Brave the Sands.
Oh my god, that's such a good one!
You guys, I have an action flick for you.
Oh.
And it's a fairy tale action flick, and it's a little bit Jack and the Beanstalky, but it's about a boy who finds a dragon scale
on his farm, and he goes on this quest to find dragons, and he sort of, you know, he goes on lots of adventures, and eventually, you know, saves the kingdom, and he, because he gets lots of powers granted to him with this dragon scale. It's called Dragon Scale Boon.
Beautiful. I'm buying it. Buying it. All right, that's all I got, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think we've just made some movie execs a lot of money.
Yeah.
We sure have.
I mean, if some of these don't get picked up, I really think that Molting Snakeskin is going to be a public access television hit, you guys. Who doesn't just want to watch a bunch of reptiles in their cages?
Megan, I think you're using the words public access television and hit in the same sentence, but that's not a reality.
I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much, LSP, for coming on and playing a pun off with us and doing some movie pitches. It was our great pleasure and honor to talk to you.
No problem. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure many of our listeners know already, but in case they don't, where could they find some of these videos or some of these magical written puns that we have talked about?
Channelfireball.com has most of them. My set reviews especially, I end up riffing on the cards a fair amount. But I also write articles for the main Wizards website. I guess that's magic.wizards.com. And do a fair amount of coverage as well. So I guess that's most of it. Plus, I suppose on Twitter is where I am the most active, just at LSV.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. And listeners, if you enjoyed those puns, you know, check out any of those various locations to get some more of that sweet pun listening in.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the episode this week. Thanks to Louis Scott Vargas for being our wonderful guest in our pun off.
Yes, we had an amazing time.
Oh, that guy. Love that guy. So much. So much.
You're getting weird now.
I'm sorry. It's a lot, Louis. It's a lot.
Don't. Whoa. All right.
Hey, listeners. As we said at the top of the show, please consider checking out Patreon and becoming patrons of our show at any dollar amount that feels right to you. We would love to hear your support through the form of your money.
We also love to hear your support through the form of your words. You can send us a tweet at MTAcast or an email at magicktheamaturing@gmail.com.
Subscribe to our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or mtgcast.com. You can also find our every episode that we've ever recorded, all 90 of them, on magicktheamaturing.com.
That's pretty sweet. If you want to find us on Magic Online, I won't be on until Cons of Tarkir is released, because that's how I feel about M15. But I am Ice Cream Socialist.
I'm horny_unicorny. You can also give us a shout out at themeatery.org.
Pretty sweet, you guys.
So see you guys all around the corner on our next episode. And I hope to see your smiling faces through the microphone.
That didn't make sense.
I know, but I'm just going to go with it.
Goodbye.